So the question at once arises, what is perfect samadhi? What do we mean by this term? And this is the question that we now have to try to answer. But before trying to answer this question, let me make just one relevant observation. I think we can say that as a general rule, the more advanced the stage with which we are concerned, the more advanced the stage of spiritual life or spiritual experience with which we are concerned, the less there really is to say about it. I think we can say that this principle holds good throughout the whole spiritual life. If we look, for instance, at the Buddhist scriptures, especially at the Pali scriptures, we'll find that the Buddha had very much to say, for instance, about ethics, about morality, about how one should behave, how one should conduct oneself, and so on. He went into all these questions in very considerable detail. But when it came to questions of, for instance, nirvana, the ultimate goal, then there was very little indeed which he said. In fact, there was very little indeed for him to say. And we do find, in fact, as we search through the scriptures, that though they're very extensive, though they're very elaborate, though they deal with many topics, on the whole, they do tend to say very little about nirvana. The Buddha wasn't very communicative on this particular subject. Indeed, we do sometimes find that at times, when he was questioned about nirvana, about the nature of enlightenment, about the experience of the enlightened person, he just remained perfectly silent. I remember in particular there's one sutta, not a very well-known one, I think it's in the Samyutta Nikaya, and all series of questions of this sort is put to the Buddha. And whoever compiled the sutta, after each question, says, the enlightened one remained silent. And another question, the enlightened one remained silent. Yet another question, the enlightened one remained silent. And this is how it goes on. And it's very much the same, we may say, with regard to this same Noble Eightfold Path. There's quite a lot that one can say about perfect speech. There's quite a lot that one can say about perfect action, about perfect livelihood. Under perfect livelihood, you can go into the whole question of economics and spiritual life and that sort of thing. There's a very great deal of material. Now, there's even quite a lot to be said about perfect effort and about perfect mindfulness. But when we come to today's topic, perfect samadhi, there seems, in comparison, much less for one to say about it. Indeed, when I started thinking over today's talk, it did even occur to me at one point that we might not even have enough material, real material, on this subject of perfect samadhi, for a full evening's talk. But let us see. It may well be that, having said something, one might have to take refuge in silence. But if this does happen, if one finds that there's very little that can be said about samadhi, or if one discovers that one ought not perhaps to be saying anything about it at all, if one feels obliged rather to be silent, this should rather be taken as emphasizing the importance of the stage with which we are now concerned, and not the opposite. In worldly life, of course, the more we have to say about something, the more important we consider it. Tonight's papers, I believe, are full of reports and information connected with the dollar and gold and things of that sort. So the papers being full of these two subjects, people automatically think, well, they must be very important because people are talking so much about them. And this is how things are in the world. But in the spiritual life, you may say, it's just exactly the other way round. The less you say about something, or the less you can say about something, the more truly important it is.